brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
You know, we're putting them in a position to be successful, but also putting them in a position where they get exposure to the Friday night atmosphere.
You finally broke a 31-game losing streak.
We're going to win more. This is just the beginning.
You had four number ones go lose their first game of the season out of the blocks, but that's what non-region schedules do. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there, and this one turned into, it turned into one that we expected but we didn't expect, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so on the podcast today, we take a look at how week one unfolded. We're going to preview the upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did we get so much more than that. So yep. Our first guest today is Connor Foster.
Yes.
Purple Hurricanes head coach. It's our big game on GPB this week. That's Brockmart mm-hmm. versus Cartersville.
Yep.
And our second guest, we zero in on Gordon Central. And we like to have fun schools.
Well,
on.
And folks are going, Gordon Central, what?
Exactly. Like a special school. Mm-hmm. A surprise or a notable game. Gordon Central finally broke its 31-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
made school history with points scored and margins and victory and all the things. Head coach Lenny Gregory, a two-time state championship coach, is there. And the reasons why are unbelievably special. And I had chills throughout the whole interview.
Yeah, but for those who might remember Coach Gregory, he was the head coach at Collins Hill in the mm-hmm. early 2010s. Led them to state championship appearances, to a state championship here on Georgia Public Broadcasting. And after his time at Collins Hill, he goes to Gordon Central. Last season, they did not win a game. This season, they won their first one out of the blocks. And we get to kind of delve into how things are changing up there at Gordon Central, and with the attitude changing and just the whole perspective now changing there at Gordon Central with Coach Gregory in his second season up there.
It could also be like an additional spinoff to Friday Night Lights.
It could.
It is like a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, before we get to all of that, we got to talk about our game from last Friday, the very first one at Eagle Stadium, the nationally ranked teams, number 12 Buford versus number 6 Milton.
Mm-hmm.
John and I barely survived it. Barely got out of there with our lives.
Says the person who hid in her car for an hour and a half.
No, no. First of all, the sirens were going off. I had to leave.
You literally, but I mean, that's great breaking news on your part, where literally the warning sirens for lightning in the area are going off. And Hannah, just without any kind of stopping whatsoever, explains what's going on.
That's not
sends
true.
It to a commercial
that's
break.
That's not true. Let me defend myself.
I'm giving you credit.
I don't know if you guys watched the halftime show. We got through like half of the first segment.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know and what they didn't show is that John is holding down the tent.
Uh-huh.
So not like, like some PAs or like interns. John is, not to diminish that position at all, because we have amazing interns and PAs.
Mm-hmm.
John is holding down. And the wind is flapping in the tent, and I'm just on hosting halftime. Like everything's fine.
Cool. Yeah, everything's so fine. Then, yeah, Hannah's
so
just doing halftime.
So then it's pouring rain, and mm-hmm. the sirens go off, and then my producer is the one that producer Lori Cover
mm-hmm.
was very urgent to get off the air, throw it to break, and get to shelter. John went to the production truck with about 50 other people sardined in there.
Pretty
I
much.
Went to my car.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, mm-hmm. anyways,
yeah. See how this plays.
Makeup artist and I, Lee
yes.
Jones, were in my car.
Yes.
Not sardined with a bunch of stinky men because it was warm outside.
Bunch any of hoosies. Stinky men.
Any hoosies.
Any
that
hoosies.
Is the, that is just like literally, I will just never, I wish we had gotten a picture just of the whole thing.
Yeah, with me holding the tent down and having the tent clamped down on my finger. And
you're injured. Show them your injury.
Well, I mean, all right, so we'll go here. But literally, now, here we go, Jane.
John has an injury.
I have an injury right
so
here from
small.
Where, yeah, you see?
It is like the tiniest quarter-inch cut I've ever seen
well,
on the
it's
middle
because,
of his
it, well, it's
finger.
Because, when you're collapsing a tent, you have the tent.
Oh, it's so good.
It's just the tent leg.
Yeah, it like pops down.
And you're supposed to pop down and lock in place. So, of course, my fat finger got in the way of it clamping down in place. And so it's almost like Frank Burns giving himself a Purple Heart for a shell fragments.
Yes, yes. That's what you earned. You earned yourself.
I earned a purple heart. Yeah.
For holding the tin.
Absolutely. Yeah. But what Frank Burns never said was that it was eggshell fragments. That's your MASH reference for today, kids. But
what about the game?
It was
fantastic.
We knew it was going to be a great game.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. Quarterback Luke Nickell was 13 of 20 passing for 176 yards. TJ Lester rushed for 95 yards and a score. Milton ended up holding Buford to 201 total yards. Mm-hmm. Really outstanding performances by both teams, but Milton really kind of held Buford down.
Yeah, defensively they really did. And when you have a quarterback who is having his first start in Dayton Raiola, who was held to 7 of 13 for 92 yards on his own, it was a learning experience for the Buford offense. And the Milton defense said, okay, young man who's starting at quarterback, you're going to be the one to beat us.
Yep.
And so they stopped the running game, stopped getting to the edges, and kind of pinned Buford in. But yeah, it was a 13, and Milton had a 13-0 lead. And then it comes back, you get a safety, then you get a touchdown, you get a 2-point 13-10, and this was the kind of game that we anticipated. And I give the fans a lot of credit at Milton for coming back.
Gracious. There
after
were so many fans.
After the weather alerts and everything passed through. But now it was a great game, and Milton now travels to American Heritage for a game on national television, and Benedictine travels to Buford. So just when you thought the non-region schedule was... Nope. You get those games coming up here in week two for those guys.
The stadium sits 3,000.
Yeah. There was more than that. There was more than sits.
Without getting anybody in trouble, there was more.
No, but you had the space for it. I mean, you had the berms
standing room and the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the wildest first game to a season we've ever
absolutely.
Had.
Absolutely.
Quick look around the rest of the state. Four number one teams lost.
Yep, Benedictine loses to Rabun Gapnacuchi. Yep. Jefferson loses to Marist. You know, we mentioned Buford losing to Milton. Bowden losing to Fellowship Christian. By the way, the Bowden-Fellowship Christian game decided on a 2-point at the buzzer. And it was one of the low-key, it was one of the quietest best games around the state. Quiet just because you had two single-A schools that were going at it, and it was kind of hidden away, and you really had to know that it was going on. But Bowden and Fellowship Christian, they went at each other for 15 rounds, and it was a great 36-35 game that Fellowship Christian won at the buzzer. So you had four number ones go lose their first game of the season out of the blocks, but that's what non-region schedules do, is they challenge you early on, and when folks don't want to play you, then you got to play other champs, and you have situations like this.
Yeah, and because of non-region, Buford and Bowden hold on to their number one rankings, the rest of the teams kind of fell.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get to our first guest.
And we're walking.
Yeah, that's it for week one. Turn the page.
Turn the page.
Week two, starting right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have Rockmart in Cartersville, like we said, and our very first guest is Purple Hurricanes head coach Connor Foster. Hey, Coach Foster, thanks so much for joining us. It's nice to catch up. We haven't seen you yet this year.
Yeah, good afternoon. I really appreciate you guys hosting me.
So 1-0, 40-0 win over Columbia to get things started off. How does that feel, and how were you able to pull out that big W?
Yeah, it's good to get that first one under your belt. There's a lot of nerves with the first game and a lot to clean up, but excited, you know, for our community to get back together and be cheering on the Purple Hurricanes. And I'm excited to see how our guys respond. Great teams have a big jump from week one to week two. So I look forward to seeing how we respond this week in practice and to see if we can clean up some stuff going into week two.
And that was going to kind of lead into my question, because you had a lot of players participate in this game. If I saw the graphic correctly, it's over 100 players. 102 players got at least one rep in this game. You had multiple quarterbacks, active in the offense, multiple running backs getting carries, multiple receivers getting catches, these kinds of things. What do you learn about yourself in a game like this where you have all of this participation across the board?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that that's where we'll be every Friday night, but I mean, we are intentional about trying to develop our players and develop our young guys, whether it be situational players or package players or, special teams guys. We want to make sure that, we're putting them in position to be successful, but also putting them in a position where they get exposure to the Friday night atmosphere and the pressure that comes along with, competing at that level. So, It's just a blessing to be able to get to play that many guys and to get some film on them and to show them, hey, this is what we're doing a great job of, and this is an opportunity for you to improve.
It's a really good depth test too, to see how many guys can play at one position. Was there anything specifically you learned after doing that? Because that is a lot of players.
Yeah, I think it allows you the opportunity to really kind of hone in your rotation. Mm-hmm. It's practice and the game are not the same thing, right? Some guys, their gear is a little bit better when the lights are on, or some guys just have a knack for making plays. So you start to get that feel for what guys can or can't do. So I think as the year goes on, that number, it's just natural for it to narrow down. But yeah, I mean, I think especially with the defensive line and some pieces like that, you really kind of figure out what guys can do and what guys really need a bigger role there in the rotation.
For those that don't know and aren't the reclassification gurus that don't have everything memorized, Cartersville is in Quad A, and Cartersville being Cartersville, let me ask you this. How difficult was it to fill out your schedule? Because I know that for some schools all year long, because of their reputations, because of their success, it's hard finding non-region opponents. How difficult was it for you to fill out your schedule this time around?
Yeah, it's a humbling experience for sure. I'd have to call and get rejected. And, you know, there's some matchups that come your way. And the tricky part about it is you've got to challenge your team without getting them too beat up. You know, our region is incredible. The success we've had in the playoffs the last couple of years, basically the same region, but adding in a really, really, really good cedar town. So our region just got even tougher. So trying to find opponents to challenge you and give you some different looks offensively and defensively without beating your guys up too much before you get into region play, that's a tricky balance. And I think we did a good job. You know, we've got some local games that I'm excited about. Obviously, Rockmart. One that we haven't played in a while, and then still playing Calhoun is a big one for both the communities as well.
I've got a two-part question when it comes to talent on your team. So you played three QBs, but Nate Russell was 11 of 14 passing, 154 yards, two TDs. Do you think that he might be your guy this season? And then my second part of my question is something we ask you every year when it comes to offers. Make that kid an offer. Is there somebody on your team that isn't standing out as much that deserves more recognition?
You know, the quarterback thing, we're going to try to kind of play it close to the vest. we've got two guys that have played a lot of football that are both really talented. And, you know, their skill sets are kind of unique. I thought Nate played really, really well. Mm-hmm. Andrew Purdy was actually sick last week and didn't get a chance to play. But, we got some talented young guys as well that we're really excited about. So, Andrew gives us some different things in the run game. He's got a really explosive arm. He's a Alabama commit in baseball, so a great athlete. But Nate's just been, he's had an incredible offseason. He's worked really hard, and you can see the growth and maturity and confidence from last year. And I was excited to see him kind of start to take that next step. And, you know, as far as make that kid an offer, we've got a young man, Landon Heath, who was actually just injured in the first game. But an incredible talent, a physical kid, an outstanding student athlete, a great leader. He's going to make somebody's locker room better. He's going to make somebody's program better. I can't say enough good things about him. I would love for a school to contact me about him. He's an incredible kid. He's our captain. And, our hearts are kind of heavy right now with him experiencing this injury. But I know he's got a lot of great football ahead of him.
And the mention of you with your quarterback question, what mm-hmm. that does is it mm-hmm. gives Biff Parson over at Rockmart more to study.
Yes. Time to preview our big game on GPB this Friday.
So I'll go ahead and ask it. When you see Rockmart, what do you see when it comes to what Biff has been able to build over there?
He's done an incredible job. I mean, it's consistent. They've got incredible athletes. They're a big physical bunch. I mean, I think that's kind of what jumps off the page at you. You know, when you start to look at them, I think the perception is they've got a lot of skilled guys, and they do. I mean, they've got some incredible talent out at wide receiver and running back, but they're big and physical up front, and they're young up front as well. I think their future is really, really bright.
And it's going to be the game of the week here on Football
yes,
Fridays. Rockmart. in Cartersville at Wineman Stadium in downtown Cartersville. It's always great to catch up with folks there.
Those purple
to
hurricanes,
see everybody.
Sirens.
Yes, and make sure that, yes, all the hurricane sirens are ready to go. Yeah, that, and that's a story for another time that will not be on this podcast. Coach, as always, it's great to catch up with you, my friend, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys on Friday night on Football Fridays.
Thank you guys so much.
One coach down, one to go, and this one is a treat. We get to learn about building a program from the ground up and what Lenny Gregory is doing at Gordon Central.
Hey, Coach Gregory, we talk about notable games here on the podcast. Well, your game was certainly one of them. You finally broke a 31-game losing streak and school records, beating 11-point favorite Southeast Whitfield 62-0. How do you feel?
I feel great. I'm happy for these kids and in this community. You know, sometimes you get you're in programs, these big programs that I was part of, and you take winning for granted. You don't appreciate it as much. And coming here last year and experiencing an 0-10 season and dealing with all the difficulties and everything that we had with lack of numbers and you know, just incredible to see the investment that these kids have put in and for it to pay off for them. It was awesome.
What kind of investment are we talking about here? Because there's obviously there's the physical investment of time, and then there's trying to understand what you want to do as a coach and a philosophy. How much of an investment are we talking about here in a season where you didn't win a game in your first year there? What kind of an investment are we talking about to turn this to where you end up getting this big win?
I'll try to cut it down as much as I can, because it's a lot. It is a lot. But you know, you take a blueprint that has won championships and you bring it up to a program that has not won a game in 3 years, and you try to implement this vision and this program and create a culture. And you know, you start first in the weight room, right? And the strength and conditioning program was not up to par here. And so we had to go in and revamp the weight room. They did not have the football players in weight training. And so we had to
that's
get them
dangerous.
In weight training.
Mm-hmm. That's dangerous when it comes to this sport.
Yeah. And the summer program was nothing like what I'm used to in our program. And, you know, we go 4 days a week in the summer. We compete in at least four very competitive 7-on-7s. And so the kids they didn't know. The community didn't know. And you had kids that had to work because we're a small, you know, rural county and school and community. And so a lot of our kids have to work on either on the farm or whatever. And so that was part of the big challenge, is just getting our kids to stay after school for practice, to show up in summer. And our numbers were so far behind in the weight room that you know, a lot of kids got frustrated, and then we didn't have success, and we had some injuries last year. And at a school like Gordon Central, small level football, one kid is like 11 kids. Mm-hmm. And so if one kid gets hurt, it, you know, it really puts you back. And so obviously being behind in the weight room, we had some injuries last year just because we weren't strong. And so as we went through last year, that was our big commitment. Of, I think everybody thought I was going to leave. And towards the end of the season, you know, a lot of parents and community members, and they said, "Coach Gregory, don't leave. Whatever you do, don't leave." You know, and I'm like, "Guys, I'm not leaving. I'm, you know, we bought a place up here, got beautiful piece of property, and really love it up here. My wife and I and our 11-year-old son really love it up here. It's beautiful. It's peaceful." And we're invested here. And I think they fully expected me to leave. And I didn't. I said, we're going to roll our sleeves up and we're going to go to work. And so we got back in that weight room. And you know, the kids made tremendous gains in the offseason. Their commitment level was tremendous. The summer we took them, competed at University of Georgia. We finished in the final eight in their 7-on-7. Went to Georgia Tech, finished in the final eight in that tournament. And then we went to University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and finished, I think, in the final four in that one. And went to Archer and competed with a bunch of Gwinnett County teams. And so that was really good, and we were very competitive there. I think we were 2 points away from competing in a championship game there. So our kids have learned to compete. They've learned that they can be successful. And so we had a successful spring game against Social Circle. We had a successful scrimmage game against Cahulla Creek. And then, you know, we got a chance to play a real game, which was supposed to be Friday, but ended up being Saturday. And obviously our kids came out and played absolutely outstanding, and so excited for them.
So for those who are wondering why people would be questioning why you're leaving, you were in the finals in 2020 in 7A with Collins Hill. Then you won a state championship in 2021, the biggest stage in 7A. Why would you leave Collins Hill and head to a school like Gordon Central?
Well, that's a good question, and I have an answer for that. You know, Collins Hill, I'll always remember that program, and I'll never forget sitting in on an interview with Corinza Wing, the principal there, who was very athletic minded. She was the first female basketball coach, a woman's basketball coach at Collins Hill. And I remember sitting in on the interview, and she talked about, I think it was 39 or 40 state championships that Collins Hill had won. And they have a state championship in every program but one, and that was football. And that was her goal. And I shared that vision with her. And I said, I've got a plan, and we can do this. And I took over a program that was 2-8. And in the first couple of years were bumpy, but I stuck to it, and I believed in the plan. And we slowly got better. And at 20, we go to the state championship and we're runner up. And then 21, we record a 15-0 season and did something that no 7A team has ever done. That's win all 15 games by more than 15 points per game. And I guess we'll probably go down as the greatest 7A football program to ever play in the state of Georgia, because there's no more 7A. But it was an awesome, awesome experience. And there was so much investment there from an administrative standpoint. I remember sitting in the commons area where we would get pregame meal. And if you've ever been to Collins Hill, they have banners that go around the ceiling of different state championships. And all those banners were up hanging. And I would point out to the kids every year we sat there, guys, our goal is to win a state championship. Our goal is to be the first banner to go up in this school. You got softball, you got basketball, you got everything, soccer, but no football state championships. And it was awesome in 21 when we were able to hang that banner and sit there and look at that banner go up. And I credit that to Corinza Wing and all the support that she gave me. And then she decides to retire. And so, you know, she calls me up and she retires. And, of course, I had a really great staff. And a lot of my staff members, coaches, they ended up getting head coaching jobs. I think it was five guys went off that staff and became head football coaches. And some guys went and became coordinators. And so I needed to rebuild. And so here I am with a new principal. And, you know, that it's always hard when you get new leadership. And so it was just very clear to me that I was not going to get the investment that Corinza Wing gave me. And I needed to rebuild my staff because I lost really good coaches. And at a school like Collins Hill, you've got to be competing for a state championship. That's got to be your goal, to win a state championship, and with as much talent as there is in Gwinnett County. And so if I wasn't going to get that same support, then I was really in a losing situation, and I wasn't going to be able to do the job that I needed to do because I needed certain pieces to continue to feed, you know, what was a monster that we built now, right? You can't just stop feeding it. You got to keep growing and keep growing because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And so I just didn't feel like I, you know, that was a top priority for the new principal that came in. And I felt like it was time for me to move on and let somebody else take over. And my wife and I were really in a place where we thought, you know, it'd be really nice to move somewhere, you know, small town, take over a small program and try to build what we've done. You know, I built a good program at Centennial when I was there. And I obviously we did a really good job at Collins Hill. And it'd be nice to go to a small town and raise our son and see if we can't do it at a smaller level. And so that, you know, we found Gordon Central, and Gordon Central hadn't won a game in 3 years. And so.
And you did it. Mm-hmm. You did it, Gordon.
So, yeah. I mean, I just, you know, God is good, and God has moved things around for me. And I really, I'm thankful and I'm blessed to be here at Gordon Central.
Most points ever scored in school history.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
So when you're there at Gordon Central and you see someone, whether it's a player or a parent or an administrator, understand what you're trying to do, I mean, and it could still be a growing process with what's going on there, but when you see someone understand where you're coming from and then you see a result like what happened this past weekend, what's that like for you as a part of this whole process to say, okay, the light's starting to come on here with a lot of folks and understand where I'm coming from with all this?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And 100%, when you go 0-10, people look and say, well, geez, this guy's no better than the last guy. And it's just the same old thing, right? And so for us to be able to do what we did in the spring, to have a summer like we had, and for us to go out there and go 1-0, it solidifies our program and why we're doing what we do, and it creates a buy-in. We already had a buy-in, but you have to appreciate that these kids have, you know, our senior class right now, this was their first win in their high school career. So for them to validate that, hey, investment and, you know, I run a hard practice. I run a hard weight room, and we run a pursuit drill, and kids hate it. They absolutely hate it. And last year it was like pulling teeth, you know, to get them to give that effort, because I really believe that effort, you know, is a key factor to creating a winning culture. But now to see that our kids are actually running to the football and they're flying around, and then they understand that, hey, this is why we do this at practice. And we can show them clips and go, guys, look at this play. All 11 of you guys are at the ball. You're all running pursuit drill. Doesn't this look like pursuit drill? And this is why we tackle, and this is why we block, and this is and look at this block that you drive the guy 10 yards down the field. That's why we're in the weight room. And so they're starting, it's exciting because they're starting to see that, hey, you know what? If I invest in this, the sky's the limit. And our kids are starting to believe that.
Coach Gregory, I can feel your passion.
Yeah, that's
through the
that's
screen.
Literally, that's the cool part of all of this. Well, Coach, we wanted to catch up with you for the obvious reason of breaking the losing streak up there at Gordon Central. Couldn't be happier for you.
We got so much more than that.
I know. It's fantastic. Great that we were able to catch up with you. You got a game coming up at home against Butler this week. Good luck. We're going to be following you and what's going on up there at Gordon Central. Thanks for dropping by and sharing the story about what you're building up there. It's fantastic. Thanks for dropping by with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
As soon as we wrapped up, Coach Gregory gave us the best soundbite of all.
Yeah.
So they bought a farm.
Yes.
And they have 82 animals. 18 goats, 39 chickens.
I'm glad you wrote this down.
21 or 22 ducks. I don't know all of the math. 4 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So him and his wife.
And they're bottle feeding one of the goats.
They get up early. They get the eggs. They're bottle feeding goats. They're doing the farm life.
Yeah.
Then he turns into head coach. Mm-hmm. And then he comes home and he said they're out there late taking care of the animals as well. Amazing. He said it is the most peaceful, therapeutic thing they have ever done. And they're in it for the long haul. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Nope. Okay. So it's time to do the whip around.
Mm-hmm.
As I grab my...
Because this fell off the back end of my highlighter. So it's time to catch everybody up with their alma maters.
I have no idea what Lassiter did. Please tell me.
Lassiter beat Midtown 35-30. So Lassiter out of the blocks. They get a win.
Go Trojans.
As you and I are discussing what's going on in this week's show, Lakeside Atlanta, Lakeside DeKalb, and Berkmar was suspended because of weather. Mm-hmm. And so they're finishing it on Monday.
Okay.
So I have an incomplete.
Okay, so yours is an NA.
Mine is an incomplete. I have an I. Okay. As I turn to go to the glass, James Central Macon Chargers lost to Daugherty, 44-0. Are you supposed to do that?
I don't know what I'm supposed to do on this podcast, John.
And so Ambassador Jeremy and Gentle Ben, the intern, by the way, they played each other. Get this. Mount Vernon and Darlington played each other. Mount Vernon beat Darlington. So our intern, Gentle Ben, can hang this over Ambassador Jeremy's head for the week. Gentle Ben.
Gentle Ben? Where did we come
from? Antiquated television reference. Look it up.
Sure. Okay.
Unbelievable. So anyway, Mount Vernon beat Darlington 46-27. So that was the other matchup I think that we had in the mix. And Marky Mark, where'd you go to school? Were you a local?
Right, just grab the mic here. I went to Pickens High School up in Jasper.
Ah, okay.
Ooh,
so
John's got that.
New head coach in Craig Bennett, I believe. Let's see. So what did Pickens do? Pickens. I have to look on the right-hand side of the column because apparently you did not win. Let's see. A lot of the mountain schools...
I'm efforting. Let's see if I can get there.
Let's see who gets there first. So we're looking for the Dragons of Pickens.
Pickens beat Pepperell 31-28.
When was that? That had to have been like on Thursday or something.
It was Friday, John.
Was it? Because I don't have it on Friday. Or wait a second. Okay, so it's not here on this sheet. And it's not here on... Okay, so I'll take Anna's word for it. So out of the blocks for a win.
You probably shouldn't.
Good work.
All right,
so words of wisdom. Because, as always, in charge of the ones and twos and the microphone. So what words of wisdom do you have now that you have purchased your new shoes and are wearing them in the studio?
I mean, these are incredible shoes right now. I mean, words of wisdom on this. I have to think about that. It's so hard. I would say get more shoes. I think that's the true words of wisdom right here.
See?
You should just always collect more.
See? More
I like
shoes.
It.
And I think Hannah likes that. And by the way,
I like it.
The question that was used as we go. The question that was used for the audio test today.
Food for thought.
Well, no.
Yes, food for thought. John.
Your most controversial musical take was our mic check today. And it was literally that guys, whether they admit it or not, it's not like every guy hates ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys that like ABBA. 1970s supergroup ABBA. And I had not one, but two people.
Me and Coach Foster had no idea who you
were
talking about.
Look at me like I had three heads or was wearing, or I was wearing eyeliner or something. It's like they had.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Hannah and Coach Foster had no idea who ABBA was.
No. But then you said the song.
Yeah, Dancing Queen.
Okay, I know that song.
And then she said,
Elton John.
You thought it was John Elton, by the way.
John.
You thought it was John Elton.
I did say John Elton.
She did.
I'm not the biggest music buff.
And
I know
so,
who Elton John is.
All right, so then what was your most controversial musical take?
I'm not going to say it. This was, what happens during the mic check stays at the mic check.
All right, so let's get the promo out of the way and talk about everything that's going on here on Football Fridays before we get out of here.
We got another one. We'll say it again. Weinman Stadium, Rockmart versus Cartersville. Kickoff 7:30 p.m. this Friday. Blogs are out. Follow us on social media at GPB Sports for all the latest news and info. We're also still collecting Make That Kid an Offer every week.
Yes.
So if you have a son or a nephew or a friend of a family that does not have a college offer that you think deserves a college offer, please DM us or email us.
GPBsports@gpb.org.
Yes, we are looking for kids not only talented on the field, but have good GPAs, are good people, all of the things, the whole package, and we highlight them during halftime.
Yes. So there you go. GPBsports@gpb.org, and let us know about Make That Kid an Offer. We're going to have that all season long. Yep. So for Gooden Hannah,
yep.
I'm Nelson John.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. We'll catch up with you next week.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.